great unction from yourself. May your Holy Spirit help him and strengthen him as he preaches your word this morning. And may you help us to listen attentively to the glory of your name. For it is in Jesus Christ's wonderful and precious name we pray.
Amen. Amen. So last week, Michael, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, did a heart-touching sermon. And if you haven't listened to it, or if you weren't here last night and you haven't listened to it, I would encourage you to listen to it online. It was a beautiful, beautiful sermon. But it was a sermon on thankfulness and how we should practice it daily. And thanksgiving within our church. And secondly, how we should always see the person for which the thanks is to be given. The thank you. The thanks to the you. And that you is identified as God. The verse we closed with last Sunday was Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Michael went through all the things as a church that we should be thankful. The times the Lord has blessed his church and its members. Today we start a new year. I want us to ask ourselves, what race are you running in this year? What track have you actually chosen? And I want you to, in a kind of a comparison, metaphorical way, I want you to kind of create it pictorially in your mind, in our busy lives, because we're running so many races. The kids and their activities, not even considering bringing them to school. We have the job, and if we were to break down the job, how many races in the job are we actually doing? Then you have your spare time, etc., etc. You get the gist I'm trying to bring here. We're running and we're involved in so many races. But as the new year starts and a busy Christmas finishes, I want you to ask what track you're running on from a spiritual perspective. From a grace, and bearing in mind the sermon of last week, a thanksgiving perspective. The scripture we're going to be focusing on this morning is a beautiful, beautiful piece. And it's from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. So please get your Bibles out because we're going to be going into this in quite some depth this morning. It follows a beautiful opening of the book of Timothy that Paul writes. And we can gain so much wisdom as Paul's theme is so encouraging and could be probably summed up in these words. In keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. And this is the athletic trek I'm referring to. The promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. The track that will keep you or I Christ focused. So let's read this scripture. And I want you to particularly put focus on verse 7 when we get to it at the end. So let's start. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And these things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses entrusted to reliable people will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Then verse 7. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. So there's four parts to this section of Timothy. You have my son, Paul, referring to Timothy to be strong Or in some translations, it is, be strengthened in grace that is in Christ Jesus. So the first part is being strengthened by grace. And even another part in this where all things you've heard me say. So we're told to entrust others in teaching. Then you have a third part where Paul is kind of saying to be a soldier in Christ, to be an athlete in Christ, and to be a farmer in Christ. And we're going to go into those in detail as we join Paul in the suffering as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer. And then the last part, so there's four parts to it, is that you focus on the track or race you're running, as the Lord wants you to think, as the Lord will give insight to life. Some readers and commentators make a major error in reading this passage. As I say, it's only for pastors. Yes, it is for pastors. But by the grace of God, it is for all who are participating in a journey with the Lord. That's all of you here and me today. This passage asks us to do two things. Suffer for the gospel so that we can retain and understand the Lord's wisdom. And that we guard this grace of understanding, this bank deposit that the Lord gives us as a soldier, as an athlete, and as a farmer in Christ, so we can complete the journey with the Lord. In other words, we understand the gospel by the Lord's grace, and we use this understanding to complete the journey with the Lord, this very race we go on. So let's get stuck in. Paul starts off in verse 1, be strengthened. So Timothy, my fellow brother in Christ, become strong. Become strong and be strengthened in a continual dependence on God. Okay? So keep being strengthened. But strengthened by what? By what means? It is by the Lord's grace, being in union with him. So this gracious enabling power. And as an example, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless us, or bless you abundantly, so that in all things, in all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Or more specifically, when you're thinking of this track you follow and what race to focus on in the new year, let's listen to Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify himself for our people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Then in chapter 2, verse 2, Paul does something really interesting, or clever maybe, and forces the reader to think of the importance of a church as you go and do your race of 2025. He combines the need for spiritual strength and teaching, our spiritual strength with teaching. So in verse 1, he speaks of we need grace. And then in verse 2, he combines it with that we must entrust men to communicate the gospel message faithful. The joining here of verse 1 and verse 2 is critical in your track race with God, as the message of the gospel must be given to you in an orally or teaching way. Let's develop this point for Paul's thinking and go to Romans chapter 10 verse 14. How then can they call on the one who have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? We all need to hear this amazing gospel preached to us, so we can understand the detail and the majesty of this ultimate track event. And the whole world is on of redemptive history. And learn, as in a recent example in this church, the whys on Joseph and his 20-year trial. And what he went through in his spiritual race when we compare it to our journey and our own race. We must continuously compare the word we hear each week and apply it to our journey with Christ. Michael is in the Genesis series and has been Christ-focused, linking stories together in redemptive history, this great race of salvation. Even as we're just about to finish Genesis, yet our hearts need more. And we're going into the redemptive story in Matthew and the great promise of the new covenant in Christ. Listen to 1 Colossians 1:6 to support this thinking. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Now to verse 3. Please follow along me with the scripture, because it's important. Paul returns to the why. The main reason why Timothy needs to be strengthened in the grace of Jesus Christ. It is in order that he suffers hardship as a soldier of Christ. So let's explore with Paul in verse 3 as he drives the need for suffering with verse 4 and the imagery of a soldier, and then verse 5 with the imagery of the athlete, and then verse 6 with the imagery of a father or of a farmer. Okay. Why is Paul telling Timothy that we should suffer and bring this military imagery for us to learn by it? The race or track event that we participate in daily is not against this physical world. It's not against the new law that's been passed last week by the government or what your boss just put on your desk so that you can action. We need to see the context. What surrounds this race? We need to see what we're truly running in. And to do that, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war against the world. The weapons we fight are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Our race must be obedient to Christ. Otherwise, we're using weapons of this world, when in fact, grace is not of this world. The knowledge of the amazing gospel that is preached in this church is not of this world. It's divine. We could support this with Ephesians 6 as well, when we've done it, I've spoken about it so many times, with the armor of the Lord. Then verse 4. Paul clarifies the point when he speaks of the discipline needed to be a soldier, using the verbs like entangled. And how is a runner in a race of 2025? We should not be entangled in things that would be a hindrance to our single-minded dedication to follow gladly the commands of our leader. Dundalk Baptist Church, the race you will continue in tomorrow, don't get entangled in the affairs and undertakings of this earth or everyday life. See this world for what it is. Decompartmentalize it. Put it into a category. Put that entanglement into a box and separate it lower than your overall walk with Christ. The soldier, as it says in the text, needs to be free. He needs to be not tangled anymore to listen to the commander of the great race in your salvation or sanctification. Otherwise, you could be running or training for the wrong side, on a track of darkness. So Paul is saying this to Timothy, to the benefit of us. So that Timothy is a soldier because Christ enlisted him. He's enlisted all of you. Christ strengthened him. He does that with grace for you as well. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we ought to serve him, our commander-in-chief, with untangled service as we run this great grace, our race of life. Now, verse 5. Paul brilliantly brings in this imagery of a law-abiding athlete as a model for Timothy. Why follow the soldier with an athlete? Paul wanted us to see a person that competes in a contest. And if you boil this down to everyday tasks, we compete daily, continuously. But when we compete continuously in the tasks of picking up the kids or ironing or feeding the dogs or chatting to our neighbors, do we miss the glory of Christ right in front of us? Are we going too fast? Everything becomes a race. Lining up for a flight, getting the bus, our position at the car wash. Life gets in the way of seeing why we're in this great redemptive race with Christ. As in verse 5, Paul brings in the why. Just as a soldier, the athlete needs to compete according to rules to get what? A crown. Listen to verse 5. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. It's so odd. How often in the busy day do you see the crown that is already on your head? The crown of Christ's victory on the cross, the imperishable wreath. Listen how it's described in Hebrews 2, 7 and 8. You made them little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor. You put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. The crown you wear, we need to see this in your day. And remember, the victor wins the prize. We read this a few moments ago, but let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Do you not know that in the race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games does not or goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I love those last words. I don't go running aimlessly. How often over this Christmas period did that refer to us? Or that boxer that was simply just fighting and beating the air? Don't forget, as Christians, we're in the great race of salvation, competing for that winning crown that is won already in the righteousness of Christ, the wreath or crown that is our reward in Christ. Our union with Christ means the race has been won, and we share in the spoils with Christ. But there's also a sense in which the crown of reward is only evident if we persevere to the end, if we run the race well. Only after the race of our lives will we receive the crown completely. The Christian life is hard. But it always amazes me reading this verse from Paul, and in many ways it gives me comfort. 2 Corinthians 11:25-30. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger from the city, danger from the country, danger at sea, danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I've gone off without sleep. I've also known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches who are weak, and I do not feel weak, who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn. All of us need to prepare for the spiritual battle like a soldier. We need to prepare like an athlete and beat your body into submission. You need to prep the ground, plant the seed, do the watering like the farmer. It's hard work. Listen to those words that Paul said a few moments in Corinthians. But for those who preserve, the crown awaits the victor of the battle, the victor of the race of our lives. The very true harvest is ahead of the hard-working farmer. Think of 1 Corinthians 4:12 for a moment as we try to digest this hard labor piece. We work hard with our own hands. When we're cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. Hard work and reward. And that neatly brings us into verse 6 and this farmer imagery. The farmer receives his share of the crops, but he works hard to seed them. He works hard to water them, to fight for them, to nurture them. Listen to 1 Corinthians 9:7-10, enjoying this imagery of the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer all together. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it's written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain. Is it about the oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. As the farmer running the race enjoys Christ's harvest, we should hopefully see our kids develop in Christ. See opportunities in this crazy world just to stop and help a person. To stop and see Christ's glory as just a flower blooms or a baby is born. Or seeing the fruits of the harvest of God come alive in unbelievers. As a body of believers, we must pause and stop for a moment, as we did last week, just to give thanks for baptisms in this church. Think about it. We had 5 baptisms last year. We must stop, appreciate it when we see new members coming to the church, as we saw this morning. These are moments of the harvest. This is the farmer in you. Because this is happening in the great redemptive race. And in seeing these baptisms and seeing these new members joining us, we're seeing the work of spiritual farmers. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul talks about how Satan blocked his way in coming to the church. Let's join him in verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes. Is it not you? Indeed, you are the glory, our glory and joy. Paul here is talking about those who have become Christians under his ministry as his crown. So as soldiers, as athletes, and as farmers, we must win the race of Christ first. And then to verse 7. I hope you paid special attention to verse 7. Paul asked Timothy, as he asks all of us, to think. Let's read verse 7 again. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. The Lord alone will give you understanding. Have you ever noticed that sometimes life is like a scripture verse? Sometimes we read it and we only get part of its understanding. Or we run in a race. And then we ask ourselves the questions afterwards. Why did I run in that race? What was the value of that race? But it's by God's grace we can think. We can reflect, we can consider, and the Lord will give you understanding. Remember Christ in the wilderness. Satan testing him. Watch how Christ reflects, thinks, and considers in this situation. Christ was on a track in the wilderness, a track of testing. He was running a race, but then the Lord finally says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came to attend him. Christ pushed the devil away and the distractions of this world, and immediately the angels came to attend him. You could almost see it pictorially in your mind as the assistants on the side of the track offering him water as Christ had more challenges to come. Think of the cross. The Lord's understanding was worship him and to serve him only. Too often our race is secular. We only see it in Satan's logic and his desperate understanding. See your race daily in hope and only in the hope that is of Christ. In 2025, let's pause and ask, which race am I running in? Is it for Satan or is it for God? Sometimes we need to pause and ask for grace. Ask to be strengthened, as Paul encouraged Timothy, to listen to the word and put it in your life. Put the word in your race. Paul has called on Timothy to suffer hardship. Indirectly, he's asked us as Christians to do the same. And Paul has placed before us three models to consider that service. The service of a soldier who pleases his commander and is not distracted by this earthly world, this secular world without God. He's asked her to consider the service of a law-abiding athlete who gains the crown of Christ. And lastly, he's asked us the hard-working father or farmer who receives his share of the crops. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see the soldier in your race. I want you to see the athlete in your race. Even if you're like me and are probably the furthest thing from an athlete, I want you to see the athlete in you. I want you to see the farmer in you. As together, they all speak of a vigorous and undivided service for the Lord. That is rewarded. We close with the reward of the race. And the correct track you should be running on in 2025. And it's 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May I remind you of a poem by C.T. Studd, and it's been said to you many times before, but I'll remind it once again. And it's really stuck with me over the last number of years, especially when in times when you have to ask, what race are you running in, Les? What is your race today? And the answer should be, I only have one life, and it will soon pass. Only what is done for Christ will last. Amen. Can we be upstanding for our next song, which is Alleluia, What a Savior.